Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Consider it a joy and a privilege to be with you on today with my good friend, Pastor Thompson, all Deacon Saints as friends, as they say. Everyone under the sound of my voice to my cousin, Pug.
All right.
In case y'all didn't know. I won't be before you very long. Just have something that I want to encourage you with on today. From the book of Acts, chapter 9. Just want to read about three verses from it. Acts chapter 9. This is men and women's day, or women and men's day. Amen. Celebrating ourselves. Acts the 9th chapter, verse 36. 37, and I think I'll stop at 38. Just want to encourage you with this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. This is NIV I'm reading. Which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once. For a few moments, I want to speak with you on the topic. Help is on the way." Help is on the way. Beloved of God, there comes a time in our life when a good example of diligence and perseverance serves us well, because we need to be reminded our circumstances, no matter how bleak, no matter how painful, no matter how pressing, do not determine the outcome for us in due season. This truth to humanity may lead us to ponder about the will of God for our life, because we have the activity of our limbs and breath in our body. We walk upon earth rather than lying 6 feet under it. What then are we on earth to accomplish? How shall we fulfill what God has purposed for us during the time we are destined to be a disciple of Jesus in this world? You see, each of us has a God-inspired destiny, a destined purpose, of which we are expected to use every resource available to us to continue the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. It behooves us then to spend time with God in prayer, to discern what has been entrusted to us, to fulfill in service to the true and living God, our Savior. In other words, we were not saved to sit on the seat of do nothing. Come on here, somebody. Let the believers in Jesus put her or his hands to the plow in God's vineyard. So when you're about to take your last breath, when your body becomes cold and lifeless, you will not spend precious moments wondering if your living was in vain. Now, there are times life presents us with situations, presumably causing us to draw premature conclusions about the final result. I don't know, maybe you have experienced some things in your own life's journey that causes you to think or rethink about whether going through the unpleasant experiences are worth remaining faithful to God. Let me stop right here and assure you, our journey through this heartache and pain is worth everything we encounter along the way toward a victorious and triumphant finish waiting for us on the other side of through. For this reason, my sisters and my brothers, I stopped by here this morning to let you know, even when it seems like we face a seemingly impossible situation, one appearing to be lifeless without pulse or breath, a situation you cannot see your way through, Let me remind you today, it ain't over until God says it's over. Did you not know, or have you not heard, the God we serve specializes in bringing dead situations, circumstances, things, and people back to life. Please know those things, those people who have been counted out, can be revived within a blink of an eye. Yes, praise the God, it is true. You may be down today, but tomorrow, instead of being counted out, believe this, God has the power to turn some things around in your favor. As a songwriter stated, late in the midnight hour, God will turn it around. Good God Almighty, I feel churchy right now, y'all. Now, looking back at the text, we find a story about a female disciple in the scripture for today who demonstrates the epitome of overcoming while the odds stack up against us. When reading this narrative, I see value in retelling Tabitha's spiritual biography. Let us unfold the life of this woman and see what makes her story significant to women and men living in 21st century. Right here, you need to know, while the story states Tabitha is a disciple, there are women actively working both in the Gospels and letters without title, position, or even a name. Women like those listed as among the disciples in Luke 8 chapter verses 1 through 3 who followed Jesus and financially supported his public ministry, helping the 12 to do what Jesus instructed them to do. Yeah. Women listed in Romans 16 chapter held honorable positions in the early church period. Am I telling the truth about it? Note this, the author of this herstory writes the disciple's name, Tabitha, and then translates it into Greek as Dorcas. It is unusual in more than one way because the mention of a woman's name by biblical writers implies she had great importance concerning the occasion in Scripture. The Greek translation of Tabitha's name generates further attention about this woman because the name Dorcas relates to the modern word gazelle. A gazelle. You've seen a gazelle on a Discovery Channel, or for those of us who can remember when most people had rabbit ears on their TV. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember the show Mutual of Bomberhall's Wild Kingdom? Gazelles are found in a dry region on the continent of Africa, yet they digest the moisture in vegetation to keep themselves hydrated. These deer-like animals are in the antelope family and have long, slender antlers. Gazelles are swift, running as fast as greyhounds, reaching speeds as fast as 80 miles per hour. They are light on their feet, especially when they sense danger. With the agility and ability to leap from side to side to escape harm's way. When the pressure is on, gazelles use their survival instincts to protect themselves from impending danger. Since many of us, at one time or another, may face challenging times, times when our hope hangs on by a string, I believe God wants us to know we do not face those challenges alone. When we have been through the fire and stayed there a while, when it seems like all hope is gone, God wants us to know help is on the way. So now, as we look further at the text, we can see the author describes details about the life of Dorcas. One thing we read about this gazelle is her good name, a disciple whom the people loved. People loved her so much they did not want to see her die. They held her in high esteem. Maya Angelou stated, I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. See how this gazelle left a lasting impression with those she encountered. Now a good name will open doors for us. A good name, my friends, can make a difference in the outcome of a bad situation. We should desire a name when said makes people happy to see us come, not glad when it's time for us to go. Amen, somebody? A good name can bring life to dead situations. Don't believe me? Well, try calling on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus makes death tremble. The name of Jesus gives us the victory during times of trouble. I declare to you today, we have victory in the name of Jesus. I dare you to call on the name of Jesus. No matter what it looks like, keep trusting and believing Jesus can work it out in your favor. God, we ask you even now, help us to hold out until our change has come. Now, this gazelle had a good name, and she also did good deeds. Memorable and honorable deeds. Deeds highly spoken of amongst persons close to her. The Bible says she was always doing good and helping the poor. She found ways to make a difference in the lives of persons who could not help themselves. Yeah. Let this be a lesson for you and for me. The story of this gazelle models 1 John, where it reads, let us not love in words or tongue, but in actions and in truth. Am I in the book? Yes, serve the kingdom of God with the gifts entrusted to you. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, let us use every resource we receive to the glory of God. This gazelle lies there in state with her good name. Her friends remembered her good deeds, yet did not stand idly by to watch her demise. We read about how her labor was halted abruptly as the life in her physical body yielded to death. This story seems to present an impossible circumstance for someone faithful to God and the people she ministered to on a regular basis. Surely, it appeared death was the victim, but Tabitha had some people willing to speak up for her. She had people standing up and believing it was not the end for her. What a difference it makes to have good friends. I'm talking about those persons who are really there for us through thick and thin. People who do not want anything in return. Those true friends who only want what's best for us. I'm glad to know God has assigned for us, Pastor Thompson, certain persons who would help us make it through tough times. Beloved, listen as I speak to the gazelle in you. Gazelles may travel alone from time to time, but when they travel together, they gather in as small as 2 and as large as 200. Isn't it good to know God has other gazelles coming to our rescue when our spirit is slow, when it seems like we cannot make it another day? All we have to do is have a little talk. Come on here, somebody, with Jesus, and he will dispatch a herd of gazelles. They will come running swiftly to meet our needs, to take us by the hand and pick us up like Peter did for Dorcas. Dorcas had good friends who went out of their way to find help. They did not give up on her. The author makes it plain it was over for the gazelle. They had dressed her, preparing her for burial. However, some friends had the audacity to speak on her behalf. They were not convinced it was the end for their friends, so they set out to find a person who they knew had the authority to speak to death, and death would stand back and behave. All I'm trying to let you know is we can be like those gazelles who would not give up on Dorcas. God sent me by here today to let someone know troubles don't last always. No matter what it looks like, do not let trouble keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Stay focused on the one who can make peace. Be still, y'all know the man. So then if you have a good name, keep it. If you do good work, keep doing it. Stand firm in faith, Church of the Living God. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the word, because you know your labor in the kingdom of God is not in vain. If you have good friends, do what you can to keep them. But if you do not have a good friend you can call on in your time of need, let me tell you about a friend who sticks closer than any sister or brother. We have a friend in the lowly Jesus, one who holds all powers in his hand. That name Jesus, oh, how I love to call that name. He hears my cry and he answers my every time I have needed Jesus. He has never let me down. Anybody know about the man named Jesus? When he comes to your rescue in your time of trouble. Listen, Jesus told his disciples he had to go away. He had to leave them. Yes, he returned to his Father in heaven, but he did not leave them without help. He sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in times of need, to be our bridge over troubled water. Am I telling the truth about it? A very present help in times of trouble. When we face a thing that seems like a coronavirus won't go away, be firm in your faith, trusting and believing. When we need to be revived, when the gazelle in us needs to be resurrected, God dispatches the help that we need. How many people know he may not come when you want him, but he'll always be on time. So be not dismayed. Whatever be tired, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Your help is on the way. God bless you.
Good afternoon, church. To God be your glory. To my good friend, Pastor Thompson, and Lady Thompson, Sister First Lady, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the office of this church. And my wife and family, we love you. It's good to see you again. It's, as he said in my bio, it's kind of good to be home, amen?
Right.
It's good to have a home and a house.
Yeah.
Some of y'all get that on the way to the house. Some of y'all got a tour of home, and I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
But to my brother James, who led that song just now, he gave me confirmation. It's amazing how God can give you confirmation in so many strange ways. Amen.
Yeah.
His brother James stood there with that mic in his hand. He reminded me of my introduction. And that's one good thing about already preparing your sermon. When the Lord leads you, you don't have to add to it when you get to the church. Y'all know how them old preachers used to do. They sit in the pulpit and be writing stuff, and then they say stuff to fit in because they didn't have it before they get into the church. But I've already got it in my tablet, so I can't add this to it. But Brother James, bless you, my brother. But there was a singer named James Brown. He recorded a song in 1966 on the 16th day of February in New York City. It reached the number one Billboard R&B chart and the number 8 Billboard on the Hot 100 title. Is it a man's world? And I just knew Brother James was going to say it at the end. I just felt it in my spirit. He was going to say, is it a man's world? So I'm asking you, though, is it a man's world? Is it a man's world? Now, I'm not one of them singing preachers, but I can tell you what the words say. The words say, is it a man's world? But it would be nothing, and I say nothing. It would be nothing without a woman or a girl. The first verse, he says, some of y'all know that. You don't know scripture, but you know James Brown, but I'm going to leave that alone as well. Y'all already saying amen on James Brown, so maybe the good Lord will get an amen in a few minutes anyway. But maybe y'all know this too. It says, you see, a man made the cause to take us over the road.
Yeah.
See, they know, amen, I'm getting this thing. You fellas know this song, don't you?
Yeah.
Man made the train to carry the heavy load.
Yeah.
Man made the electric light to take us out of the dark. Man made a boat of the waters like Noah made the ark. See, church, men, it's Men's Day, but yet it's also Women's Day. But we find ourselves in two very familiar scriptures. If you would turn to Genesis 6, verse 14, and Genesis 7, verse 7. Genesis 6, 14, and Genesis 7, verse 7. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it's custom you can stand if you don't feel like it in your physical element. It's okay to sit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If not, say it's a man's world.
You're fine.
I'm singing. That's that shower singing. That's that in the car singing when you're late for work because I can't get out of the car because my song is, I got to finish my song. Isn't it good to laugh in church? The Bible even declares that laughter is good for the belly and good for the soul. Amen. So good. Genesis 6 and Genesis 7, verse 14 in chapter 6. And it reads, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall they make of the ark, and shall pitch within and without with pitch. And Genesis 7 is what we're going to hang our hat. Genesis 7, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him in the ark because of the waters of the flood. He may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Look to them, say neighbor.
Amen.
It's a man's word. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you for life, love, and health. Thank you for your ways, your wisdom, and your word. Now, Father God, take my dumb mind, my dumb lips, And just mold me, Father God.
Yes.
I'm just the clay and you're the potter.
Yes.
So mold me into that vessel.
Yes.
That vessel that you can pour into your people.
Uh-huh.
Allow your people to receive this word. Let it go forth. Let it bring forth fruit in this season.
Uh-huh.
Again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. And we thank you for your ways.
Yes.
Now bless this time we have together. Now bless these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Let it be accepted in thy sight. You are our Redeemer. You are our kinsman. You are our Savior. And Father God, I go ahead and plead the blood now. That if there's someone here under the sound of my voice that does not know his Lord and Savior, if they don't know you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if they don't know you as the one that make a way out of no way, if they don't know you as the one that can keep a hedge protection around them, let them come running, screaming, whatever it is, crawling, it doesn't matter. Just let them say, what must I do this day to accept you as my King? Let them come at any time during this service. We've got to get out of this tradition to wait for the preacher to get through preaching and say the doors of the church are open. The doors is our hearts. So we pray that hearts be open, minds be regulated, souls and mind, body, spirit, and soul be saved this day. And what day it is, come forth in the future that one day they realize they need you. So we love you and we trust you. And it's in the strong name of Jesus. Anybody know the strong name of Jesus?
Yes.
Let them say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Is it a man's world? Men, ladies, children, boys, and girls, all ages and colors. We're not at the circus, but yet everyone on the sound of my voice. Is it a man's world? Well, I have three quick lessons because I know Sister Tracy's got her stopwatch on me. Amen. So three quick lessons for our men. But yet, ladies, you can listen to because as it was said earlier, Donna spoke to everybody, even though she called my nickname out, but we'll talk about that later. But I want to thank her as well because she helped me through that grief, Brother Thompson. I know who to call on. I didn't call on the name of the Lord, but I called on the name of Donna. And I went to Elon and sat in their library to get me through my Greek class. Amen. And I hadn't spoken no Greek since then, but I spoke some other words anyway. But three quick lessons. Therefore, in order, what is a lesson? A lesson. Therefore, in order to educate ourselves, we must apply ourselves and study diligently to God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, that a workman or a work person, I should say, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, some people educate or learn, and they think that through society it builds their problems just because. Yes, sister, she's been to Sister Donna's been to Shaw, I've been to Shaw, been to Duke Divinity, been to all these divinities. But how many of y'all know it's nothing like learning from the Lord?
Yeah.
Education is good, or however, education itself does not solve our problems. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Okay, let me say it this way. Let me cut across the field because I ain't got much time. How many of y'all know that we can have an educated fool? Anybody know an educated fool? Can I get an amen? In fact, Jesus himself learned. Only thing he knew was in his childhood as he grew up was wisdom. He grew up in his stature, but he also grew up in wisdom. You can find it in Luke 2:52. Amen. That is God's son, yes, volunteered to put himself in a position where he needed to isolate himself in knowledge. And yes, men, we've got to learn to educate ourselves to be in the King of Kings. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because all scripture is breathed by God. And what is it good for? It's good for profitable teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in the righteousness, for the man of God or the woman of God may be what? Complete and equipped for every good work that God has called us to do. Always learn and never obey to be a bride in the knowledge of what? Truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's time for men to learn these lessons. Men, lesson number one, you've got to learn to be humble. Be respectful, submitted. Be meek. Jesus was meek, but it wasn't weak. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Men, we need to recognize that, yes, that we are not our island. The only island I ever seen was Gilligan Islands, and y'all know who Gilligan was. I got any Gilligans in the place this morning? If you think that you are tough and rough, and you know how that old saying, I'm the big dog, the big kahuna, if that's who you think you are, you need to learn that Jesus is on top of everything. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Men should understand that men wouldn't be who they are if it wasn't for a spiritual understanding. Here it is, understanding because of godly women who are able to touch God. If you think I'm blind, I'm flying. Look around right now. If I was asked the women to stand up, they outnumber the men right now. That lets me know that women are in church and they are praying, but we're out doing our thing and thinking that we're thinking it's a man's world, and we're not in church because she's going to church and I'm going to stand here and wash my car because I'm the man of the house. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Okay, let me go back to verse 7. We're going to hang our head. And Noah went in, and his son and his wife and his son's wives with him into the ark because of the floods of the water. Although we're men and we lead into different types of battles, me and y'all know the battles. The battles are trying to take care of home and trying to take care of that house, as I mentioned. But we need to know that it's because of the women's presence, because of the ladies, their mindset is the way to secure us to the victory that we're looking for. I'm trying to get some help this morning. I don't understand why I'm the only man in here to realize if it wasn't for my real, I wouldn't be in the place that I am today. Can I get an amen? Oh, can I testify real quick? And this is free right here. This is free. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, I didn't tell my wife, I didn't tell nobody, but my wife would get those two babies together and she would go out to church every Sunday morning. And I would go to Piedmont Drag Street. She wouldn't ask me to go to church. She wouldn't tell me, I know you ain't going. Y'all know how some of y'all women are. I'm going to pick on y'all too. You going to tell me I'm going to church again? My wife didn't say a mumbling word. Maybe she had read it. It's a time to speak. And it's a time to be quiet. Maybe she knew that and I didn't know that. But she would get up. And then one Sunday, I was sitting there. The boys were pulling up. Trailers loaded, bikes clean, car clean, cooler fool. I'm going to leave that alone. We had Gatorade. We had all the different color Gatorade. We was going to get thirsty later. And then one day I said, why is she going to church and leaving me here? Maybe she think it's a man's world. Maybe she going to church to look at something. So guess what? All things work for the good. I learned that later. And then the next Sunday, I didn't go to the track. I went to church, but I'm going to leave it alone. But I found out it wasn't no man, but Jesus was the only man she was going to see. Lesson number one, fellas, we've got to learn to be humble. We've got to learn that it's not our island, that we've got to be in this world, and our help come from the Lord, but our help is also from a woman. Can I get some help this morning? And lesson number two is that don't grumble at the opportunity. Because life is too short. Okay, here it is. See men, I'm going to talk about men. Noah accepted God's call to face the powerful dawning of the appointment. Yes, Noah had to face the flood, the family, the food, the finances, and the first, and the following, and the foolish of the folk. I can say that again. Noah had to face the flood, the family, the food, the finances, the first, the following, and the foolish folk. Just like, you know, foolish folk. You know that story. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It reminds me of those 10 virgins. There was 5 what? Wise, and 5 that were foolish. I'm trying to help somebody out. But yet, in that time, it was more than just 10 folk. The whole world had been corrupt. If you read back in those verses, you'll see that God saw that it was violence all in the world, and God decided to destroy the entire world. Some of us can't even handle when our alternator go bad on our car. We just lose our mind. Can you imagine God telling you to build an ark and it had never rained? Can you imagine the pressure? But guess who was standing beside him? Yes. Sister Donna already said. All the women in the Bible don't have a name, but Sister Noah stood beside all the Noah. And the whole time, she stood beside his side. She could have easily said, I'm going to go across town because I think the grass is green. And it may be, it's a man's world on the other side. Y'all know how y'all do. I didn't marry you for this. I thought it was going to be better. But when you stand before God, you say, for better or for worse, for rich or for poor, to death do you part. That's what Sister Noah did. Can you imagine Brother Noah trying to build an ark, doing something that nobody else. So you got to picture it in your mind's eye. Nobody else had ever done this before. And God has called some men to do something that nobody else has ever, never done before. Because he wants you to be the first. So you can take care of your family through the flood. Anybody here besides me ever had a flood? I'm not talking about your sink breaking. I'm talking about when the light bill due and you may not have the money. But has God ever made a way out of no way for anybody else? Has God ever stretched that chicken? Anybody know we're talking about having chicken on Sunday and somehow make a chicken sandwich on Tuesday? And by Wednesday you eating the next morning, by Thursday you making some soup. And by Friday you done made a soup. And then by Saturday you just put it in the microwave or whatever you got. You eating gizzard, butts, brains, and everything. But God made a way. Anybody besides me know that God can make a way? Because it is a man's world, and the man is Jesus Christ. God of our Father, our Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one of Isaac. He's the same. God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it way back then, if he did it yesterday, he can do it again today, and he's going to do it tomorrow. But it's up to you to decide if you're going to do what? Humble yourself. Are you going to humble yourself? Secondly, are you going to realize that you're going to seize the opportunity and not gripe and complain? See, men, you might think you're the big baller, the shot caller, the one to eat the big piece of chicken, the big corn, or the big dog. But there's a sign. The sign used to say, if you can't hang with the big dog, stay on the porch. That's why I was talking about your house and your home. You got to learn to make your house a house and a home. Can I get some amen from somebody this morning? Okay, y'all don't want to hear me out. So back to Noah. It is the moment he decided for himself that he could recognize, rationalize, and groan about the number of enemies that he had. Can y'all imagine the number of enemies he had? They didn't have Facebook back then, but I guarantee you when that rain started falling, the whole world found out, what is this? Then after those 30, you know, ain't that some folk either. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody stood there and said, I still don't think he gonna flood the whole earth. But Sister Noah said, I got you back, baby. I got you back. Because the Bible says that Noah went and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Yes, Brother Noah could have complained. Yes, he could have complained, but he humbled himself. Brother Noah, yes, he realized that I got to take the opportunity to seize and do what God has told me to do. And yet, he could have been the one that boasted and bragged. He could have been like, you know what, I'm the only man in the whole world with a boat. Anybody know men like that? I'm the only man with a chariot. I'm the man. Yeah. Anybody? Okay, let me help you out. Anybody know anybody like this? I'm the only man in the neighborhood with a new car. I'm the only man in the neighborhood with a new van. I'm the only man in the neighborhood with this new SUV truck with the heated seats and the navigation center and the started car. I can start my car from inside the house because I am a man. Because it's a man's world. But Noah considered, or he couldn't brag to the boys at the car wash, or I'm going to mess somebody up and y'all can laugh because I know you're going to laugh, so I'm going to go ahead and give you permission to laugh. Or he could have called his mother. Anybody married to somebody, every time something happened, they go in the back room and say, Mama, she tripping again, Mama. Or she didn't call his mother, maybe he called his mommy. Anybody married to somebody, don't say that because you'll tell it. I know some men folks that got to call their mama every time something happened. Because he think it's a man's world until the floods come. But when the floods start coming, because God will give you a sign. See, God gave them an opportunity. See, y'all missed it. I thought I was going to get an amen. But I got to go on and tell you because you missed it. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. If it had never rained before, the first day it started raining, somebody should have went down to Home Depot and said, Lord, I know I didn't help you for the 120 years, but I'm going to help you today. God didn't let it just flood in one day. He gave them 39.999 to get the opportunity to get it right. And I don't know who I'm talking to today under the sound of my voice, but you've been trying to pay your bills the same way for the last 40 years, and you still robbing Peter to pay Paul and ain't calling on the Lord. Instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul, you need to be calling on the Lord. Stop trying to pay your bills the way you've been paying them. It ain't working. You've got to learn to stop thinking it's a man's world. Yes, fellas, he had an opportunity. And I've said all the time that a good opportunity is not a God opportunity. I say it all the time, yeah. He acted like a man. He did the smartest thing. Now, he didn't act like a man. He acted like a man. There's a difference between being a man and a man. Some of y'all get there on the way home. I tell folk all the time, even Sister Donna threw me out this pub. I tell folk all the time, This is free. Sister Trace, I'm going to get out of here. I love you, baby. I love you. Just put that watch down. That's an inside joke. My name is outside. I used to tell my children when I got called to preach and I stopped going to the track. They was about 3 or 4 years old and I started telling them from that day. I never told my kids to know not to drink or do drugs. I told them you got two rules in this house. Education is important and respect and learn from other people's mistakes. Amen. I never told them, one's 25 now and one is 21. I've never changed the rules. The rules are in my house or work in my home. Education is important. And learn from other people's mistakes. My son went off to ECU, the number one party school, and graduated on time. That's enough right there, what he said.
Amen.
I was like Noah. I had the family, the food, the finances, and the folks saying, why you let that boy go to ECU? He gonna come back a drunk. Train up a child in the way he should be. Train up a child. See, I became a man in my house when I thought I was a man. And then you know what? As time went on, God blessed us. Because I learned to follow his lead and stop doing it my way. Let me help you. Lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path.
Amen.
Here it is. Look at part A through C, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his son's wife, and his son's wives with him into the ark because of the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife, she's my rock. She's the sugar in my tea. She's the gravy on my food. She's the candy in my yams. She's the lemon in my drop. She's the hot sauce on my chicken. My wife. Yes, we're so close that when I eat watermelon, she spit the seeds. I'm trying to hurt you. I believe that Noah's wife was the same way. In my spiritual imagination. I need somebody to help me. See, Noah knew his strengths just like I knew my strengths as a man in my house. And man, you need to know your strengths. But you need also know your weakness. His strength was leading men because, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure that Noah's sons helped him build that ark. I don't think he built that ark totally by himself. Sister Donna done said help is on the way. Noah had help. He had his sons. But nobody else in the world ever really wanted to pitch in. And the Bible says, what did it say? And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters. See, we must understand we know our strength, our weakness. Like I said, lesson number one was we got to be what? We got to be humble. Lesson number two is we got to seize the opportunities. Amen? We got to understand he knew his strengths, his weakness. Just like my wife, she helped me pick out my suit last night. Amen. I ain't the only one to hear your wife still dressing you. So I don't act like that. He was a boat builder, but yet, here it is. Listen to me. Don't miss this part, fellas. Don't miss this. Now, he was a boat builder. But she was the cook in the boat. He was a boat builder. But she was the babysitter in the boat. He was a boat builder. But she was the secretary, the bookkeeper. He saw her strength and he decided to put it to work right alongside his family. What a family. Can you see the family as they work together and all the animals in that boat? But yet, she kept house even though he was the boat builder. Can I get an amen? Look at them and say, neighbor, it's not a man's world like I thought it was. It's a man's world. Let's look at it in my spirit. I can sing now. Now, while we can't be sure, like Sister Donna said, of Noah's name, but we know that she survived the flood. That's enough right there. Somebody said he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. See, young people, you don't understand when you hear your grandmother or somebody older say this right here. When they used to stand up in the old revival church and say, if the Lord don't do nothing else for me, I'll be satisfied. I believe Sister Noah, when she saw that dove land and she said, if the Lord don't do nothing else for me and my family, I'll be satisfied because they survived the flood. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us about her character or does it tell us about anything, but it tells us about her faith and how she followed God and loyal to Noah. However different imaginations may flow through your mind, but she kept her faith and she assisted Noah through this incredible task of building the ark during this long period, and she stayed right by his side. God's women sitting on the bedside of the loved one, telling that 15-year-old, I know you got pregnant, but yet don't worry about it. God is going to keep you. Anybody know women that do that to this day? Or they stand there beside that young man that got shot down in the street by the police or whatever, but then she's singing, have a little talk with Jesus, and everything will make it all right. Because why? Because Donna said, help is on the way. Even though through this COVID-19, how many of y'all know that it's not a man's world? The ark builder of Noah and his family family. They were born to ark, but they decided to keep doing what they do despite all the individual names, the unnamed women. But we know that Sister Noah is all about grandmother or great-grandmother. If it had not been for Noah and Sister Noah, we wouldn't be here today. I'm trying to help somebody out. So here we got to understand, this is a man's world. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I feel my help coming on. I'm not one of the preachers, and I'm not going to hoop and holler because we got Brother James Tunnel. We got all of that. But it reminds me of a good story I like to tell. And Sister Trace, I'm really getting out of here now. Y'all know the story about Zephaniah. Well, if you don't know, let me help you out. I'm going to cut across the field. I got to be like Ruth, and I got to gleam on the corner of the field. Some of y'all get that when Sunday school open back up. But Moses fled to Egypt and to meet a man named Jethro, and then ultimately marries one of his daughters named Zephaniah. And later God called Moses to go back to Egypt to do what? Let my people go. To free the slaves. But yet, what did Zephaniah do? She traveled with Moses. You got to understand, she was not from their region, okay? She didn't have to go with him. She could have said, Moses, you made it across the desert, and God kept it. Oh, okay, let me help y'all out. Y'all don't get quiet. Oh, man, either you're learning or you don't understand. Let me help you understand. She could have had an attitude like this. Well, no, you came over here. Moses, you came over here. I was just at the water fountain getting some water for my daddy, and then you want to marry me? Why I got to go back with you to Egypt? Okay, let me help you out. Why I got to go with you to your mama's house? You know she don't like me. See, if you said amen, I went ahead and stepped on your toe. Why I got to go with you and your family? You know they don't like me. You know I got pregnant before we got married, and they going to be talking about me and the child 30 years old. They still talk about me. Girl, if you don't go to that family reunion and hush your mouth, I'm trying to help somebody. But yet, back to Zephaniah, she could have easily chosen to stay and said, it's not my fight. But yet she waited beside Moses and stood by his side. Instead, she stayed with her husband. She chose to fight beside him. You can find the proof that I'm saying in Exodus 4:20. Moses' story of success is much like her success story, just like the story I just told you. She stood by her man. Maybe I should have made this title, Stand By Your Man, but I'm going to leave it. It's a man's word. Just like these two women I just talked about, of importance. He wants to use and impact all of us to influence all of us in the world. Men, church, we yet believe that women can't be used by God. The devil is alive, but we saw Sister Donna this morning. Can I get an amen on that? God can use who he want to use, when he want to use it. God, or our worst, yes, we can understand. We can be sitting by the sideline watching the amazing thing that goes through the kingdom. And as I come to a close, I just wrote, does this sound familiar? For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but of all things of God. 1 Corinthians 11:12. There was a man on the cross, but who was there? The women to help him. And when he went to the tomb, who was there to help him? The women. Yes, we've got to understand that the backbone of us is a woman. Because if it wasn't for a woman, none of us would be here right now. The reason you have a birthday is because someone went through the pain and the labor to give you birth. Can I get an amen? So as I close, I say, is it a man's world?
No.
The words are, there's a man. Come on, fellas. I know y'all know the words, so y'all help me close this thing out, fellas. It's a man's world. There would be nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man, he made the cars to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the electric light to take us out of the dark. Man made the boat for the waters like Noah made the ark. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The doors of the church are open. I don't know who it is today that has a flood in their life. You may not have an ark or a boat, but I know one you can rest in. His name is Jesus. The Christ, the King of Kings and the lowest of lows. Yes, the one I'm talking about is Mary's baby. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I bid you to come as the officers make their way. I bid you to come while the blood is running warm. Fellas, it's not a man's world. We need the women. Women, thank you for your support. Men, thank you for knowing your weaknesses and your strengths. Is there one? Come by the blood is running warm. I bid you speak. Is there one? Second call is that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But yet you've been walking around thinking, even women sometimes think it's a man's world. You know, there's a company, I believe in Ohio somewhere, they have in their policy that the only people in leadership can have a mustache. And most of those gentlemen are probably Caucasian, and they put it in their work book, or whatever you call it, I ain't working so long, I don't care what it's called, policies, that, you know, the only people that can be in leadership have to wear a mustache. I told them I would write that company and tell them that if a woman come in with a mustache, can she get a leadership position? See, they're not specific in what they're saying, but they're trying to say what they're saying. But what I'm trying to say is this. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're trying to accomplish with what you're doing, it's not going to work. It's not going to work until you come to Jesus. And he will make everything better. I'm not going to say it's going to be all right. Because Jesus even said himself, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations in this world. But you, if you come in here and you learn the word and you study the word, you're going to learn that I'm in this world, but not of this world. And trouble don't last always. Amen. Joy will come in the morning. Anybody besides me ever had joy, sorrow, but you had joy because you had Jesus? And so that second call is if you know him as your Lord and Savior, but yet you just realize that you've been trying to walk in your own shoes, and then you realize you need Jesus in your position to help you make it through this flood that you're going through. And then old folks, you say you're a backslider. But I think they forget that we all got a backslide escape something. Amen. Because none of us are perfect. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. But yet, that's my second call. If you want to start working here at Arthur's Brook, we've got to learn to do some things different with this pandemic. But yet, there's things you can still do here at this church. Or you can tell Thompson, Pastor Thompson or the deacon that you want to start working more in your church, and they'll get in contact with your pastor. And we'll all work together because iron sharpens iron. Amen? Amen and amen. Last but not least, let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. Thank you, Father God, for the one named Donna. Thank you, Father God. Bless her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. One named Jeff. Bless him, Father God. He go forth in ministry, Father God. Take him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. The one that I call Lamont, some people call James, but it's still the same person. Bless him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And all the deacons and the officers and every church member in this congregation, this church and other churches. Bless all of us in our coming and our going. But last but not least, touch the shepherd of this house, Father God. Give him a double, triple, quadruple anointing. Flesh from the top of his head, bless him from the top of his flesh of his feet. Let it be a spirit that run through him like never before. And then bless the one that he's got that maybe he calls boo, and maybe the one that's the lemon in his drop, and maybe the one that's the candy in his jam. Touch her, Sister Thompson, Tracy, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, and bless his family, bless his children, and bless his church family. And all the things I say, bless all of us that when we leave this place, we will not leave your presence. And it's the strong name of Jesus Christ I do pray. And those that love the Lord say amen. 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 Look at your neighbor one time and say, neighbor, help us on the way. And it's amazing.